This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam I testify that there's no God except Allah And I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah My brothers and my sisters جزاكم الله خيرا May Allah reward you for attending tonight's lesson And tonight is going to be our last lesson for 2020 Inshallah we have one more week for 2020 And we will be starting and commencing 2021 Next Thursday will be the 31st of December In which what we do here at TUMA We try and revive that night in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though there's nothing special about that night. And it's not from the sunnah and it's not from the ibadah or anything. Just a night that people are off. We'd rather bring people to the UMA center than going anywhere else. In particular, the youngsters. So I remind every single one of you the next Thursday here at TUMA, inshallah, we'll be having the big youth night here at TUMA, inshallah. So there will be no lesson, but it will be a big youth night, inshallah. Hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will... guide us all to what pleases him and as I mentioned again there's nothing special about that night nor that you should make that night any special it's all about making sure that people are in the right environment and we come together here inshallah on that night and make it to be a fun-filled night for the young brothers to be here at TUMA and at the same time remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so next Thursday there's no lesson inshallah the following Thursday we'll go back to the program inshallah but next year 2021 I want to say next year, 2021, it sounds very far, isn't it? It's less than 6 days away from now. So inshallah, I'll see you all next year. And next year, 2021, we have a full year of programs of different lessons every Monday and Thursdays. And different speakers, different topics that inshallah will keep you posted. Let's go back to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This great man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us to be his followers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the last Prophet and Messenger on the face of this earth. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also blessed to be the final Prophet and Messenger with the greatest nation. Kuntum khayra ummatin. Ukhrijat linnas. You are the greatest nation to ever emerge. The nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll be talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and we spoke about the second most important phase during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and that phase, which is the phase of the Medina, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam migrated from Mecca to Medina. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the migration from Mecca to Medina, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will migrate to a new place, a new city, a new town, a new abode, where the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam will establish the first Islamic state during his time. And we mentioned last week the most important aspects, the most important elements that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam established upon his arrival and settlement in Medina, and that was to establish the masjid. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built in the city center and the masjid the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built which is Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the second masjid the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established but it was the second masjid but it was the most important mosque it was the center mosque it was the jami' after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had established Masjid Quba which is something that we had spoken about previously also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized and reinforced the bond of brotherhood that the believers are all brothers regardless of their race, their background, the color of skin, regardless of their wealth, we are all one nation and we're all brothers. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had drafted, alayhi salatu wa sallam had drafted a constitution or a covenant that outlines and describes the relationship of the Muslims amongst each other. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established and drafted the covenant of the relationship of the Muslims and non-Muslims. And that's something that was spoken about also last week. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is settling in Medina. And the rest of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who migrated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina, also are settling in Medina. At the beginning, as I mentioned to you, they struggled. Those who migrated, the migrants and muhajirin who migrated with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina, at the very beginning they struggled to settle in Medina. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua May dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy upon the migrants and to make it easy upon those who just traveled and settled in Medina for them to settle easily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, as I mentioned to you before, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the vast majority in Medina, and that are the believers. And that are his followers. That are the ones who are following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But then on the other hand, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had non-Muslims. And those non-Muslims primarily were the Jews. And the Jews had agreed to an agreement between them and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to agree to live peacefully. But the bigger challenge was the munafiqeen, those who showed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the outside they were Muslims, but concealed their disbelief and hatred to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we said that the head of the munafiqeen, his name is Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. And Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul became the head and the chief of the munafiqeen. Why? Because just before, prior to the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina, he was about to be appointed the king of the people of Medina, the people of Yathrib. But then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived to Medina, everyone turned away from Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul and followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everyone started to look at the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul felt that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had snatched away from him the kingdom. He felt that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stolen the kingdom away from him. He was about to be a king. And then it was taken away from him because of the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul? He didn't want to go against the trend, seeing most of his followers and most of his people and his tribe are followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he showed Islam from the outside but concealed disbelief and hatred to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the inside, and continued to plan and plot against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people of Quraysh found out, the people of Quraysh found out that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated to Medina, settled in Medina, established what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had established of the different establishments and foundation, and also found out about Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. And they wanted to leverage of that. Okay, Abdullah, you're about to be the king of the people of Yathrib, but it looks like that Muhammad took away from you. Muhammad stole away from you. What are you going to do right now? And Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul started to correspond with the people of Quraysh. So the people of Quraysh had their man amongst the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, in which this man was a man that was completely cooperative with the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of Quraysh start to correspond with Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul will feed them information, will feed them news, tell them about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is doing, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is planning, what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are planning and doing. So the people of Quraysh knew, they had some information about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is planning and aiming to do. And the news also came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which the people of Quraysh start to correspond with some of the people. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew. Like, it's not like he didn't know. He knew he was the snitch amongst them. He knew he was the one that was feeding the people of Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even informed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the munafiqeen. But as I mentioned to you, my brothers and my sisters, before, Islamically, your responsibility towards someone that shares Islam from the outside is they accept them as Muslims. You can't say this person doesn't mean it, his intention is this, or he came into Islam because of that. That's not in your hands. You can't prove it. You ask him, are you a Muslim? Yes. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. You stop over here. You can't say, but this, maybe this, he doesn't. That's not your business. And Allah told you it's not your business. That's Allah's business, not yours. That's Allah's judgment, not your judgment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had encountered this severe challenge where he had to deal with people that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that are munafiqeen and planning and plotting against him, but at the same time he had to deal with them. And on face value, when you look at it from face value, from the outset, people are looking at Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul as one of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does anything to him, what's the word What are the words that will be out there that Muhammad is harming his own people? It's a big risk. Nabi Sassam just can't, okay, you, I'm gonna incarcerate you. I'm gonna exile, I'm gonna kill you. Otherwise, the rumor will be out there, as the Prophet Muhammad Sassam said to the Sahaba, because a number of times they came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam complaining to him, saying to him, oh, Messenger of Allah, look at these munafiqeen, they continue to plan and plot against you. To that extent, they're calling it a dog. And they did say that about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said he is the example of a dog. You feed him, then he comes and eats you. Now you could imagine, you just listening to that right now, 1400 years after the event, and your blood boils. Obviously the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were very angry and upset to hear that someone like Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul trying to undermine the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So they've come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam numerous times, saying to him, oh, Messenger of Allah, just give us the go ahead, we'll kill him. Just give us the go ahead, we'll destroy him, we'll finish him off. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam would turn around and say, and what do you want people to say? Muhammad is killing his own people. Look how far the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is looking at things. Okay, I'll kill him, I'll get rid of him. But what did you do in return? People who wanted to embrace Islam will no longer want to embrace Islam, because now they are scared, because the perception now in their mind that Muhammad is killing his own people, because people don't differentiate between munafiq or non-munafiq. Qalas Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul and his followers from the outset, on face value, they are followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If Muhammad does anything to them, Muhammad did something to his followers. How are you going to explain to other people, no, Muhammad killed, but these people were munafiqeen, they were hiding Islam. It's not going to go down well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam faced this challenge. And obviously Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, he was planning and plotting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam day and night. He was 24/7 in planning and plotting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Him and his crew, he had a mob. He had a number of people that followed him. Whether people wanted to follow him because the blind followers, or people followed him because they had the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a munafiq. That's the quality of a munafiq. A munafiq is someone that has his own vested interest. And therefore, he had a group of people who are opposing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but because the wave was in line with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, they didn't want to get against that wave. The news came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam addressed the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum collectively and said, it came to my attention that some people from our own are communicating with the people of Quraysh. And Nabi Sassam wanted to preempt that. He wanted to defuse it. And he wanted to send that message to Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul in an indirect way, that I know what you're doing. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gathered the Sahaba in front of everyone, said, it came to my attention that the people of Quraysh are promising and are making a promise. They want to wage war against us. And they want to come and attack us. And we have someone from amongst us who is spreading or sending them and feeding them information. At that moment, Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul, he took a step back. He knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is aware of what's going on, which is a good strategy from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul and his followers and his mob to be aware that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is well aware of what's going on. But that never made Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul to stop planning and plotting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we're going to be talking about is, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made those establishments, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the first Islamic state during his time, which was in Medina. Now obviously Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a good foundation, a solid foundation, primarily his followers and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the companions who followed the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But that doesn't mean the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam is left alone. You've got the people of Quraysh who will never ever leave the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the people of Quraysh will now start planning and preparing to wage war against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because they see the threat of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and the growth of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why they had Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. In the next few lessons, we'll start talking about a new phase in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, which is the phase of jihad. And the word jihad in Arabic means striving, struggle. When you strive and you struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you sacrifice in the path of Allah, whether it's a minimal sacrifice or striving or a maximum sacrifice or striving, that's called jihad. When you put time and effort like you are putting time and effort right now, that's a form of jihad. When you pray, that's a form of jihad. When you fast, that's a form of jihad. When you donate, that's a form of jihad. Because you are sacrificing something that you love most. And when you sacrifice your life and you give up your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in defending Islam or protecting Islam, that's also a form of jihad. So the word jihad has a very broad meaning and definition in the Sharia. Jihad means striving in the path of Allah in any form, in any way, in any shape, as long as you strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously when you say the word jihad on its own, in particular when you talk about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are more implying towards sacrificing your soul for the sake of Allah, which is fighting on the battlefield. Now, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, in Mecca there was no striving or sacrificing your life, because the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in a weak state. They weren't in a position to fight. They were fought against and they just had to defend themselves. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, and now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam established a strong hold in Medina and a strong following and an army and an establishment and a state, now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a position to fight. And we all know that fighting is either defensive or offensive. Defensive is when you are attacked, you defend yourself. Offensive is for you to come out of your abode, to come out of your city to go and attack and offend, or to strike war or wage war against someone else. With jihad, initially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not permit. Allah did not permit the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum to fight. Then gradually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to defend themselves. Defend. If you are attacked, you defend yourself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually allowed them to make offensive attacks, which means they could come out of and set out of Medina and go and attack others. So it went through gradual. It went through gradual laws or gradual rulings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of the rulings, most of the ahkams, most of the rulings, whether the salah, the siyam, the zakat, all those came gradually. None of it just came all at once. Most of the laws came upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gradually. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first permission Allah granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that if you are attacked, you are allowed to defend yourself. أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. One of the first verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, it is permitted for those who are fought against that they are oppressed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them victory, which implies to that those who are attacked, they are oppressed, which means you could hit back. The first order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba is for you that you are allowed to defend yourself. If you are attacked, you could defend yourself. If someone comes to attack you, you could defend yourself. Then later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals another verse in the Quran al-Kareem in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out and start attacking others. Now this is what we'll be talking about leading to the great battle, which is the battle of Badr. Now, as you could imagine, from the very beginning of the establishment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and Medina now is growing and becoming more stable, but because of the growth of Medina and the settlement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, and the big tension between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Quraysh, the people of Quraysh are not going to just sit silent or quietly. They continue to plan and plot against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the tension started to escalate, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to receive news and information. The people of Quraysh are now planning to come and attack Medina, or the people of Quraysh will now start attacking the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to do, he started to put the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum on alert. Everyone needs to be alert. The Sahaba will describe themselves during that time that they used to sleep with the swords next to them and wake up and the swords next to them. That's how alert they were during that time. You don't know. You don't know when an invasion will take place, when war is waged against them. So yes, alhamdulillah, the believers now are together and united, living together in Medina. But they were always alarmed. They were always alert. They were always on an alert. Don't know when something will take place. Don't know when someone will strike. Don't know when someone will invade. To the extent that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself had appointed guards, security guards, to guard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was at the very beginning, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had guards with him 24/7, especially at night. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his house, and what was the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Used to be 2.5 meters by 2.5 meters, a little chamber, not made out of big massive rocks. You know, maybe if you punch through the wall, you'll manage to crack the wall. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest man on the face of this earth, he needs guards. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had guards guarding him, in particular at night, where the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum start to rotate. Okay, you are responsible for this night. You stay at the doorstep of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, guarding the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The following night, it's your responsibility. The following one is your responsibility. And subhanAllah, not only that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to appoint them, they themselves were keen about it, to the extent that it's been narrated that once in the middle of the night, one of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates that we heard someone just, you know, coming in the middle of the night and then sitting in front of the doorstep. So they came out and it was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. They told him, what are you doing here? He said, I just couldn't sleep the night thinking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the safety of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So I decided to come and sit in front of the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to guard and protect the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Look at the love they had for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. That was the case until what? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas. Oh Muhammad, Allah will protect you from others. Allah will protect you from people, which means you don't need anyone else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised and committed in protecting you, and therefore you don't need anyone else. When Allah revealed that verse to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his head out of the window from his home while the guards were standing there, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every single one of you now must go because Allah will protect me. That's it. I don't need guards anymore. Subhanallah. He didn't say, you know what, I understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me, but you know, just out of precautionary measures, I'll have also people there. That's what you call faith. It's exactly, do you know that Allah Azza wa Jalla provide to you? Yes. But, you know, but I have to this and I have to, like, you know, you always have that doubt, skepticism. Oh, maybe this, maybe that. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that very moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you straight away. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the guards that were standing in front of his house and chamber, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised that he'll protect me, so every single one of you must go. And that's it. Ever since then, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever had any guard standing in front of his home, in front of his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the first year, as I mentioned to you, it was more of a year, the first year of the Hijrah, it was more of an establishment year where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated from Mecca to Medina, settling in Medina, establishing the masjid, establishing the bond, establishing the understanding, establishing the custom, establishing the state, establishing this, establishing that. That was the first year. But then throughout that year, slowly the news started to reach the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the evil planning and plotting of the people of Quraysh and attacking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to prepare himself for war. One of the departments that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had is a department that's set in taking care of the warfares, in which what we call these days the defense department. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his own defense department. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the chief general. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the high chief or the chief general of the defense department. There are two types of expeditions. There are two types of expeditions. One expedition in which the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participated in. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in it. The other one is an expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't participate in. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appoints a general to go and fight on his behalf. The first one, which is an expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to fight in and used to participate in that expedition, the scholars refer to it as Ghazwa. Ghazwa. Ghazwa, which is an expedition, but an expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is part of. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will assign, appoint someone to take care of the affairs of Medina during his absence. The other one, in which the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not participate in, but appoints a general on his behalf, we call it Sariyyah. 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 These are the two different terms that the scholars use in Seerah, dividing between an expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam participates in, and the one the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does not participate in. And at the same time, part of the defense department of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had spies. He used to have eyes, they used to call them. Eyes. I know the word spy carries a negative, an evil connotation to it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to have eyes. Spies, where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will send them out with the mission to see, check, intelligence. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had his own intelligence unit to know what's going on, who's planning for what and when and how. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had another department, which is the intelligence department, for the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to know what's going around him Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in particular when it comes to the people of Quraysh. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also had eyes and insiders in Mecca, in particular his uncle Abbas. They used to feed the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with all the intel and information about the people of Quraysh. The first expedition that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam organized, and the first that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set out, was the expedition led by Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, known as the expedition of Sayf al-Bahr. That was the first expedition in the first year of the Hijrah in Ramadan, where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib to be the general of his army and to set out of Medina to go and attack a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh. The number one enemy to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the people of Quraysh, and not only their allies. The rest of the Arabs will hear what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started to do during this time. The people of Quraysh were the number one enemy of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and their allies. And the people of Quraysh were very powerful and influential, so they had a lot of allies. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to deal with them. And the only way the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to deal with them at that time is war, fighting, combat. There was no other option until later on, with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with them in a different way. So the first expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam orchestrated was the expedition of Sayf al-Bahr, where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent 30 men led by Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib to fight against a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh, led by Abu Jahl, and he had 300 men. And they came face to face, but there was no combat. There was no combat. One man that had a peace treaty between both the people of Quraysh and the Muslims, who was more of a neutral person, who stood in between the two armies, did not allow any combat take place. So the people of Quraysh fled, or they left. That was the first expedition the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set out. The second one was the expedition of Rabigh that took place in the following month, which is the month of Shawwal, in the first year of the Hijrah, where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent 60 men from the companions led by Ubaidah ibn al-Harith to lead an army again to a group of people affiliated to the people of Quraysh. And then there was another, the third expedition took place again the following month, led by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, called Al-Kharar. And then the fourth expedition, Al-Abwa. And the fourth expedition The fourth expedition is known as Al-Abwa. This is the expedition that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had participated in. That was the first expedition the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam participates in. So it's the fourth army, the fourth expedition the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent out, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam orchestra. But it's the first one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam participates in. And this is the expedition the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam joins in, which took place in the second year of the Hijra. During that expedition, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was pursuing a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh. But then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam missed them. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam missed them. However, on the way back, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took advantage of this one, of this expedition, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to sign and agree to peace treaties between him, representing the Muslims, and other Arab tribes. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is dealing with the matter in different directions. War against the people of Quraysh and their affiliates or their allies, and peace treaties with other Arabs. Don't care, you want to become a Muslim, you're welcome to become Muslim. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did as much as he can in signing up agreements with Arab tribes, in particular between Medina and Mecca, in at least, you know, there's a mutual agreement between us that we respect each other. We don't fight against you, nor they fight against us. That's it. That's one of the strategies that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had executed and implemented. So the people of Quraysh and their allies, war. Non-people of Quraysh, Arabs that were living between Mecca and Medina, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam signed peace treaties with them, agreements that we will never attack you, you'll never attack us. And even to entice them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, you know what, if anyone attacks you, we'll be on your side. Just to, you know, to empower them, to empower those Arabs. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam managed to agree with a number of Arab tribes, in particular between Medina and Mecca, because that's the strategic pathway between Mecca and Medina, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wants to abolish or neutralize anyone that the people of Quraysh will have access to. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam signed and agreed with many Arab tribes on a peace treaty between them and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that will never attack you nor they attack us. Then you had the fifth expedition, which is known as Ghazwat Bawat. The sixth expedition, which is known as Ghazwat Safwan. These are all expeditions before the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr is not the first battle in Islam, but it's the first largest battle in Islam. There are at least 10 battles leading to the Battle of Badr before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the Battle of Badr. About 10 battles. But the Battle of Badr, while we know it as the first battle in Islam, the first largest battle in Islam, but it wasn't the first battle in Islam. The first battle in Islam is what I mentioned to you. It was led by Hamza, and it was known as Saif al-Bahr. And we spoke a number of battles until the seventh battle. The seventh battle is an interesting one, which is Ghazwat Dhul Ashira. Ghazwat Dhul Ashira. That battle, even though there was no confrontation and combat, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he set out personally. He participated in this expedition. And he came out sallallahu alayhi wasallam with 150 men, which is the largest number the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had ever come out with up until that moment. So in the second year of the Hijra, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came out from Medina with 150 of his men to go and attack a caravan that belongs to the people of Quraysh, traveling from Mecca to Syria. Traveling from Mecca to Syria. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam received the news that the people of Quraysh had collected a lot of wealth, a lot of investment, and that had taken it from Mecca to Syria, to invest it in Syria. It was an opportunity for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to regain what he and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had lost in Mecca. And you're talking about people who had taken their wealth away from them. So it's their right for them to take it back from them, whether in a easy way or the hard way. It's a state of war between them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw it to be rightly for him to go and pursue a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh and regain what he and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had lost and had been taken away from them by the people of Quraysh through this caravan. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard of this caravan led by Abu Sufyan leaving Mecca to Syria with 1,000 camels and about 200 men. So he's talking about huge investment here. It was an opportunity for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out of Medina with 150 of the companions radiallahu ta'ala pursuing that caravan that just left from Mecca to Syria. But unfortunately, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam missed him. That later on the same caravan, upon their return from Syria to Mecca, that will pave the way to the battle of Badr. Because it's the same caravan the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out from Medina to go and attack that caravan that's returning back from Syria to Mecca, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again will miss it, and then the battle of Badr will eventuate. So this seventh battle that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seventh expedition the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam participated in, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out from Medina to go and pursue and attack a caravan that belonged to the people of Quraysh, leaving from Mecca to Syria. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam missed it, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam waited for them to come back from Syria to Mecca. That's where the Battle of Badr takes place, when they return back from Mecca, when they return back from Syria to Mecca, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be up against an entire army prepared by the people of Quraysh. Then you've got the eighth expedition, which is known as the expedition of Nakhla. And this is an expedition where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given to one of the companions to go and fight against a group of people from the people of Quraysh. All these expeditions are against the people of Quraysh. No one random. All those expeditions are all against the people of Quraysh. Then later on you had other Arab tribes. He prepared to wage war against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him a lesson. But up until the Battle of Badr, all those expeditions, they were all against the people of Quraysh. In this expedition, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam appointed Abdullah ibn Jahsh to be the leader of this army. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a letter, and he told him, don't open that letter until you are 2 days after this time. So don't open this letter until after 2 days. After he opened that letter 2 days, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him to go to a specific point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that letter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that once you open that letter, you realize that you are in between Nakhla, which is a place between Mecca and At-Ta'if. You'll find a caravan that belongs to the people of Quraysh. See what they do and bring me their news. See what they do and bring me the news. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu the responsibility and had tasked him to bring news, not to fight. Then later on, unfortunately, a scuffle took place between the people of Quraysh. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah ibn Jahsh just to monitor and observe. A bit of skirmish took place between them and the Muslims, and that was during the months of Ashur al-Hurum. Ashur al-Hurum are the sacred months. Out of the 12 months, you've got 4 sacred months. That's 4 sacred months, Rajab, and then you've got Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. This expedition was in the month of Rajab. The Arabs had this belief and custom that you never wage war in the sacred months. In the sacred months, you never fight against anyone. And because one of the soldiers of the army of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed one of the people of Quraysh, the people of Quraysh took that as an opportunity to discredit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, look at Muhammad and his companions do not sanctify or respect the sacred months, because it was in the month of Rajab. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a surah in the Quran al-Kareem, or revealed a verse in the Quran al-Kareem. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. They ask you, oh Muhammad, fighting in the sacred months, is it bad or is it acceptable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's not acceptable unless there's a reason. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the answer. If someone wages war against you in the sacred months, what, you're going to just stand still and wait for them to attack? No, there are times we have to respond. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to eat haram if you are stuck in the middle of the desert and there's no access to food or consumption except haram. So this is what you call darura. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebutted what the people of Quraysh and refuted what the people of Quraysh said. If you care about the Ashur al-Hurum, and one Muslim fighting in the Ashur, or one Muslim attacking another disbeliever in the Ashur al-Hurum in the sacred months, did you forget what you did to the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca? Did you forget all the oppression and injustice that you implemented against the people of Muhammad? وَصَدٌ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Blocking and trying to abstract calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disbelief and causing mischief in Masjid al-Haram and exiling people from Masjid al-Haram is greater than someone fighting in Ashur al-Hurum. So if you find it big that one of the believers killed someone during the battle, during the expedition in one of the months of the Ashur al-Haram, then what you have done is a lot worse. More expeditions took place leading to the battle of Badr, which is a battle that inshallah we'll be talking about in our next lesson. During this time, another event took place. And this event, which is 18 months after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the change of Qibla. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received the first revelation in Mecca, the Qibla that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to face was Jerusalem. Having said that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, so he had the opportunity to put the Kaaba between him and Jerusalem. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to face the two Qibla. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated up north, and Mecca is south and Jerusalem is up north, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have the opportunity for him to face both Qibla. It's either south Mecca or up north Jerusalem. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina, the Qibla continued to be towards Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, for 18 months. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِّكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ فَلْنُوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَى. We see your eagerness, O Muhammad, in facing Mecca. We could see it. We could see that keenness and eagerness in you that you want to face Mecca. We could see that love, that longing for you to face Mecca. And if that's what you want, we'll give you what you want. فَوَلِّ وَجَهَكَ سَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now you could face Mecca. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around from facing up north Jerusalem to facing down south Mecca. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam flipped the Qibla from the entrance into becoming the Qibla, and the Qibla becoming the entrance. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to face Mecca, and the Qibla became Mecca. Prior to that it was Jerusalem. And all the masajid, all the different mosques during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, they were all facing Jerusalem. But there's a specific mosque in Medina is known as Masjid Dhul Qiblatain, the mosque of the two Qibla. Quba was facing the two Qibla, Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam facing the two Qibla. But why that masjid we call it the two Qibla is because they changed them facing the Qibla while they were in the prayers. And some narrations say it was Dhuhr or Asr, regardless, one of the two prayers. While they were in Salatul Dhuhr, for example, they prayed the first two rak'ah towards Jerusalem. In the third rak'ah, one companion walked in the masjid and said, "By Allah, I just saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam change the direction of the Qibla from Jerusalem to Mecca." So while they were in the Salah, they turned around and faced towards Mecca. So that masjid became Masjid Dhul Qiblatain, the mosque of the two Qibla. But the Masjid Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the mosque of the two Qibla. Quba was the mosque of the two Qibla. But that specific mosque is known as the Masjid of the two Qibla is because they changed the direction of the Qibla while they were in the Salah. And there's no significance. There's no significance in praying in that masjid. It's just a normal masjid like every other masjid. The only significance is probably it's within the sanctity and the boundary of Medina. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed the Qibla. Changing the Qibla was a big burden. Why? People start to accuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You look at it like, we look at it just from face value. Oh, okay, they changed the Qibla. Okay, how about, you know what? How about if I turn around and change the Qibla there? You just hear a history. We hear it as history. But to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was a big challenge. They turned around and started to look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying to him, like, you know what? Just make up your mind. Like, people start igniting questions. Why didn't we face the Qibla from the very beginning? We've been here for the last 18 months. Why didn't we face Mecca from the very beginning? What? Every night you think of something? You know, when people want to undermine someone, you could undermine them. And you know, to the extent the munafiqeen said, couldn't Allah just make up his mind? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. But these are the doubts that they put. Why didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla just make it to be Mecca from the very beginning? What, Allah Azza wa Jalla wants it to be this, now he wants it to be that? If you want to create doubts, you will create doubts. So that was a big test upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the changing of Qibla. It wasn't just a smooth sailing. It wasn't just a walk in the park, that's it, let's change the Qibla. The strong believers were strong. The weak ones turned away. They looked at it in a way, you know, what's this? Are we depending on someone that can't even make up his mind? What did we change the Qibla for? Why did we do this? Why did we do that? And who also sparked the situation? The Jews. Why? Because they used to sanctify. They used to sanctify Jerusalem. It's a sacred place for them. Mecca is not a sacred place for them. They used to fuel the situation. And they turned around and said, oh, Muhammad at one stage was saying that all the prophets and messengers are all from one source. They're all prophets and messengers who are calling to Allah. Look at him now. He's switched. He was saying, oh, Musa used to, he went to Jerusalem and praised Jerusalem. Isa was in Jerusalem. All these prophets are missing Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now he switched. If you want to create there, you could create there. You could create there on anything. So the changing of Qibla was a beautiful moment. It was a milestone for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it was a big test where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to extinguish and turn off some fires that some people lit on. And that took place 18 months after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. You might think about it and say, why didn't Allah Azza wa Jalla just make it from the very beginning? To test you. To test you. You can't come into my class and I'll test you at the very beginning when you enter my class. You need to be in my class for 1 year, then I'll test you at the end of the year. It's a test. And me as a teacher, I'm going to give you a question with multiple choices. Four multiple choices. One of them is correct, but I'm going to be putting the three incorrect ones. So Allah tests you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in a position to test you to see what you're going to do. As Allah created good and bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you. So it's a test. And the changing of Qibla was a big test during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that was spoken about tonight was all paving the way for the Battle of Badr. The first biggest battle in Islam. Which is an amazing battle. And will take us at least two lessons for us to cover this battle that inshallah we'll talk about next year. And next year is only a few days away from now. Don't forget, next Thursday inshallah we've got the big youth night here at Tayyuma Center, starting from 5:30 to midnight. It's a night that we bring our young brothers inshallah to the UMA, just for them to be in a safe and good environment. So inshallah, if you know any of young brother over the age of 15, bring them here inshallah and tell them to be part of the big youth night next Thursday. More details are on the UMA Facebook and the UMA social media platforms. Jazakum Allah khair. Subhanaka alhamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube,